comfort. This is a comforting scriptural passage, and I agree a great deal with that. Speaking of comfort, you know, in a rainy and cold morning like this, I really, really thought about just staying in bed. And I thought, you know, some of you could have just stayed in bed. Like maybe that's why a bunch of you don't have your things on. You're pretending you can't hear me. You're pretending your cameras don't work. So because you're just laying in bed watching church. And if that's the case, you get a gold star and you win the day and the Lord has smiled upon you. I'm going to hope that that's what's going on, because this is the perfect day to have, you know, church in bed and breakfast in bed. And just really, like, why get out of bed all day today? I mean, honestly. My poor wife could have just stayed in bed this morning, except I dragged her out to come and do my church stuff, even though her church stuff was recorded and set out days ago. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bed and breakfast in bed, and just really, like, why get out of bed all day today? I mean, honestly. My poor wife could have just stayed in bed this morning, except I dragged her out to come and do my church stuff, even though her church stuff was recorded and set out days ago. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Okay. Frame of mind of being in the, you know, sort of dwelling in the Word of God for that week, as it is. This week is one of those weeks, you know, the lectionary every 3 years, this week comes along, and there's a couple other ones throughout the year where I don't make a psalm playlist. Instead, I just listen to songs that are musical settings of our gospel lesson, because there are two parts of that that have songs that immediately leap to my mind, songs I've sung and I know very well that are important to me. And so this week I listen to those songs, and I listen to them each at least a dozen times. One is, I shared it with the huddle, the leadership huddle on Tuesday night, as well as Bible study on Wednesday. If Ye Love Me is a setting by Thomas Tallis from like the year like 1540 or so, of the beginning of this lesson. If Ye Love Me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, is how the translation goes. I guess that's the William Tyndale translation from 15 whatever. If Ye Love Me is a setting by Thomas Tallis from like the year like 1540 or so, of the beginning of this lesson. If Ye Love Me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, is how the translation goes. I guess that's the William Tyndale translation from 15 whatever. And the second is, from later, in the, where it says, I will not leave you orphaned, it is, he will give you another comforter. And later, when it says, I will not leave you orphaned, in our translation, in the old translation, it's, I will not leave you comfortless. So when Lillian in Bible study said, comfort was the word that came to mind, that's the word that comes to my mind as well. Because in both of these old translations from hundreds of years ago, although even though they were, you know, 70 years apart, the notion of comfort was built into this lesson about God not leaving us comfortless, about the advocate, the Holy Spirit, coming to be our comforter. That was the translation. And I find this lesson enormously comforting because of these two songs that I know so well that I can still sing most of my parts for the whole thing. Although the songs are so old, there's different arrangements when you listen to them. Whatever, that's not your problem. That's my issue. But I, in terms of thinking of, you know, good news and gospel message from this gospel lesson today, there's very little that I can add to what Jesus has already, two songs that I know so well that I can still sing most of my parts for the whole thing. Although the songs are so old, there's different arrangements when you listen to them. Whatever, that's not your problem. That's my issue. But I, in terms of thinking of, you know, good news and gospel message from his disciples. This comes right after he's just washed their feet and shared the Last Supper with them, after Judas has gone out, after he said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. And this is part of that same speech. His disciples are scared. They're confused. They don't know what he's talking about. And so he tries in this section to let them know. The point of this is that I will not always be with you, Jesus says, but God will always be with you. I will not be with you, Jesus says, but God will always be with you. God will send this advocate, this comforter, this defender, this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that will always be with you, that will guide you to be God's people, to continue to follow me, to continue to love one another. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. Jesus promises that he will return. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. These are some of those strongest and most comforting words that Jesus ever gives his disciples. Because I live, you also will live. And this is right before he dies. This is when he knows what's going to happen. He needs them to remember this, even though they don't understand. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. These are some of those strongest and most comforting words that Jesus ever gives his disciples. Because I live, you also will live. And this is right before to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus fulfills these promises mere days later so that they can trust that God will be with them. Jesus goes on to say, those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Jesus will reveal himself to us when we know God's love, when we know God's comfort. This morning's worship not working the way we want it to is kind of a perfect example of how the world has been lately, right? I mean, we're doing the best we can. Like, I'm sure that half the people logged in here can actually hear me, and that's great. And that's like a 50% success rate sounds pretty good considering the state of the world right now, you know? I mean, I mentioned earlier, having been home for a couple of months, my dad and my brother went fishing on Mille Lacs this week, and so I decided to go and take Micah with me. So we took a day and went fishing and kind of broke out of the social bubble that we've been in. I'm going to try to stay home for the next week and see if we caught anything in terms of germs or whatever. But, you know, as Minnesota opens up and the idea is that we start to go out and start to interact with people again, we're trying to do so and trying to do so really cautiously because we know that this virus is real, that it's still coming, that it's still going to be hurting people we love, that we're still in the beginning of this pandemic. But we also know that we can't just sit home alone forever. You know, as we continue to worship online via Zoom or if we have to find another platform or however it is, we're going to try to connect as best we can by phone calls, by internet, by emails and texts. But at some point, we're also going to need to see other people and to get together. Now, for Hope Church, most of you have heard, we're not planning to start getting together in person again anytime soon. The science suggests that singing together in a room is about the best way to share the virus, to spread the virus to other people. And if we're going to get together and not sing, then let's not get together for worship at all. We can sing better this way some mornings when it works and do more that way. So we'll see how that goes. But being, you know, enclosed in a room together is just not that safe of a plan. At some point, we'll start to get together as the weather warms up. Maybe we'll get together and have some outdoor, open-air worship things together or church things together. But for now, we're going to try to be as cautious as possible. We're going to try not to get ourselves sick. I keep telling people, and I think it's true, the vast majority of people who would show up for Hope Lutheran Church would be considered high risk in terms of this virus and in terms of the potential effects that it could have on people. And the last thing we want is to go around infecting each other because we get impatient or bored or, you know, we need to balance the needs of people's health in all these ways. And it's a complicated and messy time. And so I'm glad for the message that Jesus brings this morning, that Jesus will not leave us orphaned, that Jesus will not leave us alone, that Jesus will send the Spirit to be with us, even in these messy, awful, weird, bizarre times, when we're just struggling to do our best. I saw something on Facebook just yesterday, just scrolling by, And it was sort of a list of, like, you know, reframing how we think of this time. And it said, you're not working from home. You're staying home because of a pandemic and trying to work. And I thought that was a helpful reframing for those of us who are working in this time. Don't just say, oh, I'm working from home, and it's just exactly like anybody who ever worked from home. It's not like that. It's we're in this pandemic, and everything is a mess, and we're trying to work. We're trying to maintain some semblance of our lives. You know, we're trying to sort of mimic normalcy, but normal, whatever normal was, is gone, and it's not coming back anytime soon. And so, you know, as we've started to talk about, we're going to be trying to build a new normal. We're going to try to build a new normal, and especially as the church, you know, what is this going to look like? What is it going to look like to be the church? As I start to try to wrap my brain around that question, I return to the beginning of our gospel lesson today. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I remember that just minutes before this, on this night that Jesus was telling his disciples this, he gave them a new commandment, to love one another. If you love me, love one another. And that's the best possible place to start as we look toward the future and what the church is going to be. At this point, it seems like loving one another looks like staying home and wearing a mask when we go out and checking in on each other as much as possible. That's what it looks like to love one another. As we move forward, hopefully we'll find other ways to love one another, to support one another. You know, most of the folks at church that I've talked to have been pretty upbeat and chipper, and you're getting enough for now. But if this goes on for months and months, we got to keep checking in on each other, because grief is going to come. We're going to start knowing people who get sick more and more. Those of us who are alone or isolated or even just out of our routine, it's going to hurt. It's going to get weird. We're going to start having low times and bad times. Some of us have already experienced that. Maybe it's just a day or just a minute even, but I think those things are going to get worse. And so we need to try to be there for one another. And I was talking to a dear friend who's a pastor in New York City. And one of the things that he said that really, we talked about a lot of things that I'm distracted by all we talked about, but one of the things he talked about, one of his questions is, you know, what are the people doing who don't have church, who don't have this kind of community? I mean, they're hopefully dealing with less tech issues, maybe. But you know, normally I'm not the kind of pastor who says everybody should have a church and everybody should be in church and church is the best thing in your life. But I don't know how people are finding community, who people are connecting with. I talked with another pastor this week who said he knew of somebody who died in an apartment building, and his church is connected with this apartment. It's a real low-income, people that have a lot of need apartment building. And everybody in this building is so isolated that somebody he knows died and was dead for 2 weeks before anybody found him. Because he was isolated. He didn't have the internet to come on Zoom or whatever. And people couldn't check in on him the way they used to. They couldn't knock on his door. And that's a reality right now. Nobody knows what happened. We need to continue checking in on one another, those we know, but we also are going to have to find ways to check in on our other neighbors, to reach out to people, because people have such a need and such a hunger right now for community, for connection, for knowing that they're not alone. I'm so grateful that we as Hope Church can meet this way and can talk and can interact. Even today when it's not working right, and half the people on here are connected or are even connected, can hear me, can see me, can do anything. I don't even know. But we got to try. We can't just give up. We can't say, oh, church isn't working right today, I'm going to go home. I learned a long time ago, in-person church, that you don't quit just because church isn't going the way you want it to. Because the church almost never goes the way you want it to. And worship on Sunday almost never. I know there's churches that can do church the worship the way they want it to every Sunday. But I've never, maybe it's just me, I've never been able to do that. And so, I think that I, at least, and I would invite you to do the same, we'll be returning to this scripture that we have this morning, this gospel lesson, that God will send an advocate, a comforter, a defender, a counselor for us, the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit will lead us, will help us to feel better. And as the Holy Spirit does, it will also start to drive us out into the world to find the people who need God's message of love and grace and caring. The time that we're in is, we gotta settle in for at least months, but this is not the end of the church, this is not the end of our lives, this is not the end of our relationships. We are gonna go on, and we're gonna figure out how to be the church together, to meet the needs of a world that's needs are just, it's like the Band-Aid was ripped off, you know, and everybody can see the mess that has been here for years, for decades, maybe centuries. And we're all living in this time now. And hopefully, I don't believe in silver linings from pandemics. I don't think that's the right language at all. But I think we can learn some good things in this time. We can grow and we can change and we can adapt to meet the needs of the world. I think that just taking a direct look at the mess that the world is and not sugarcoating that at all and starting from the real experience people have, that's where we begin now. And there's been no better time in my lifetime to see what those needs are. Now that we know, we can start to listen for the Holy Spirit to tell us what to do, to show us where to go, to show us how to be God's presence in the world. I pray that that will come, and I invite you to pray with me as we decide to figure out, or try to figure out what this is going to look like, what it's going to mean to be God's people for one another and for the whole world. Amen.
Amen.
To tell us what to do, to show us where to go, to show us how to be God's presence in the world. I pray that that will come, and I invite you to pray with me as we decide to figure out, or try to figure out what this is going to look like, what it's going to mean to be God's people for one another and for the whole world. Amen.
Amen.